I wanted to be sure I was not running and had not been running my race in vain. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. And Paul, facing the end of his life, says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. So, good morning. My name is Jeff. I'm one of the leaders here at Adventure. Why are you here this morning? Huh? Because it's Sunday. I could always count on you for a smart aleck remark there. No. I don't mean here this Sunday. I mean, why are you here on earth right now? Think of all the generations that have passed and the generations that are to come. Why are you in this one? Is there a reason for that? Or is it just by chance we all kind of graze earth here on our trip to heaven and we spend some time here? Are we UPS parcels? If you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, are you a UPS parcel with a big saved stamped on it? And the earth is a warehouse, and we're just waiting to be shipped to heaven. Is that where we find ourselves? Sounds easy. Is that the depth of life and why we're here? What's your awareness? So do a self-check as we head into the message this morning for yourself personally, where you're at. I'm sure we're all over the place in here as far as our awareness of the significance of why we're living in the time that we're living, in the family, in the community that we're living. Are you aware of that? Did you wake up this morning and lace up your running shoes and say, Lord, where are we going today? Some of you did. One of the questions that comes up when you contemplate that is just how much do we get to write into God's story? So if you think about that, if it's true that there is a race that we're running, if it's true, all these verses that I just went through from Paul, all from the Apostle Paul. I don't know if he was an athlete or if running and athletics was big in the culture, but it seemed to be relevant to understand what he was trying to communicate in that context of a race, of a course that you're running out. If it's true that we're not parcels stamped and that's it, we're just waiting to be shipped to heaven, if we're really active in a race and a course, what if we don't run it? What if we don't live aware of the race that we're in? Can we change the story to some degree? Will things not happen here on earth if we don't do them? Would God give us that much weight to our lives, that much effect to our lives? That's what we're going to contemplate today as we continue our study in Hebrews. That we're in chapter 12 of Hebrews, and just to remind you, last week, Randy talked about, first part of Hebrews talks about discipline, the Lord's discipline, and in the context of drawing out the point that we are sons and daughters of God, and so he's disciplining us because he loves us, and that's actually a sign of his love for us, that he doesn't leave us in our mistakes, in maybe some wrong paths we've gone down. He's growing us up. So if you look at chapter 12 as a whole, it reads a lot like a halftime pep talk, coach's pep talk. And I looked through a bunch of pep talks on YouTube that I wanted to show right now, but some of them are really intense and some of them just didn't quite fit the bill, so we're not going to do that. But as we study chapter 12, I think you can think of it that way. Remember, the audience is a persecuted group of believers. So it's like, it's halftime. They're worn down. They're discouraged. They're disillusioned. Why are we running this race? Why are we getting beat up for this? And Paul comes in, and we've been studying all through Hebrews how he highlights, I'm sorry, I don't know if it was Paul that wrote Hebrews. I think I just said Paul comes in. But the author of Hebrews comes in and encourages this group of believers and encourages them in the truth of how much better, how complete the sacrifice of Christ is in their lives. It's worth the work that's coming ahead for them. Not that they're working their way to heaven, but if they're going to stand in their, you know, the stopwatch, it started when they were born, and now they're living their life out in this race. If they're going to live for Christ and represent him in that time, it's going to be hard at times. There's going to be persecution and opposition. He didn't have to convince them of that. They were in the middle of it. So as we head into it, look at how we're going to be studying the middle of chapter 12 today. Last week, Randy did the first part, but reminder, this is how the chapter starts, context. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Okay, backpack, throw it off. You're not going to win the race with the backpack on. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. We don't need a backpack. We got Jesus, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Okay, so we're called into this race, and the passages that we're looking at today are how to run the race. What might you encounter? What's going to trip you up? How do you run the race in such a way as to get the prize? In order to do that, let's see. Let's take a look. Let's read it. But then we need to lay some foundation before we dig into this. But these are the verses we're going to cover today. It says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness spring up, cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. Okay, in order to dig into this, we got to look at context. And starting off at the very beginning, it talks about holiness. There are several parts in this passage that can be troublesome. If you're not in context, you know, falling short of the grace of God, right? No place for repentance. So I want to lay a foundation that's going to help us navigate through it without getting totally tripped up on those tricky parts, and then we'll look at them. So we're going to talk about our holiness, our position of holiness. Another word that's actually translated in this passage right here, where it says holiness, is sanctification in some of the translations. So what's sanctification? What does that mean? Anybody? Set apart. Exactly, yeah? That's
it's a process of making you become like Christ.
Okay, so in a process, it's you're becoming more like Christ. Okay, good. Both of those are true. Any other ideas on that or different ways of saying that that people have? Right.
Being his workmanship.
Mm-hmm. So set apart to God, really, is, what's that, Jamie?
Chosen.
Good. So some of those are up here. You guys are really smart. So is First Service, so don't get proud, because they got all those too. To make holy, to purify, to set apart to God. So the question on the board is, are we sanctified or being sanctified? Which one?
Being.
Not both. Give me an answer. Answer the question. Don't give me the both. That's, you're safe if you say both, right? We're being sanctified.
Ongoing.
Continually. Okay, so we're not sanctified now. We're just being sanctified. She's back to both. Good, because that's where I'm at.
We are sanctified, but we are on the process of being
So both. So you guys are saying both, some of you. Okay, I agree. I think both are true. So let's look at both of them real quick here. We'll call positional sanctification saying that we are sanctified. Okay, the Holy Spirit dwells in us as believers, so we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Darkness and light have no part with each other. Jesus Christ has accomplished everything on the cross that we need for to have the righteousness of Christ in him, right? Fully sanctified, fully right with God in relationship, restored fully. We can enter the Holy of Holies. Why? Because we are righteous and sanctified. Okay, that's positional. We're just going to jump real quick into 1 Corinthians, look at a couple verses to look at both of those. Positional, and then we're going to look at progressive sanctification, which is we're in process too, and why they don't conflict. Because some people do argue you got to pick one or the other. They can't both be true. I don't think that that's true. I think that Scripture is very clear about both of them. So, as I stand, I'm completely holy and set apart to God. 1 Corinthians, look at how Paul talks to the believers in Corinth. I don't know if I'm blocking you guys. To the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, to those sanctified, not being sanctified, to those sanctified. Okay, group of believers, you're sanctified. Another verse there. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Uh-oh. Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Uh-oh. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed. Washed. You were washed. You're not in the tub still in this context. You're washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Very clear. Just pulled out a couple scripture because we're not, this isn't the whole message, okay? This is the foundation for the message. But he's talking to these believers. Now in the same book, we get into progressive sanctification. Our lives continue to conform to Christ's likeness in increasing measure. Our life lines up more and more as we walk with God with our position of holiness that Christ has established for us. Have you found that to be true in your life? Look what Paul says. Verse right in between the two verses we read. Okay, this group of believers are like, yes, we're sanctified. This is great. Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly. Mere infants in Christ. That implies there's a growing up in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you are not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? Talk about identity. Talk about calling up to true identity right there. Are you not acting like mere men? What are you doing acting like mere men? You're spiritual. You're restored to God. But you're still in process. And then read all of 1 Corinthians. Just read 1 Corinthians when you get a chance this week to kind of grasp this. We're sanctified, but we're being sanctified. Right with God, right standing, salvation is secure. But living that out in our time on this earth, however long we each have, is a process of being more and more Christ-like as we submit to the Holy Spirit and his work. Not as we work harder at it, but as we work harder at believing that we are sanctified and holy and letting the Holy Spirit come in, discipline us, like Randy talked about last week, and that process is sanctifying us, purifying us, and we're maturing. So, I mean, because if you read all of 1 Corinthians, Paul just goes after the Corinthians. You know, they're suing each other, sexual immorality amongst family. They're, what other horrible things are they? They're having trouble with the taking the Lord's Supper properly. Idol, they're doing things they shouldn't be doing with food offered to idols. And there's all these different instructions about their life together, quarreling amongst themselves, that he comes in and he says, okay, guys, you're sanctified, you're holy, but you need to start walking into that more and more and living that out in your life. Okay? Progressive sanctification, positional sanctification, they're both in effect. So with that, let's dissect this passage. So knowing that, and in that context, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Well, absolutely, no one will see the Lord without holiness. Remember, Jesus said, I keep having to find it because I forget what Jesus said sometimes. He said, come on, was somebody here for a service? I gotta find my place in my notes. What did Jesus say? Come on, class. What did Jesus say? What did he say? What did you say? A bunch of stuff. Gosh. What did he say about holiness? Who will, or what did he say about seeing the Lord? Who will see the Lord? It's starting to come back to me as I talk out loud, but come on. Pure at heart. There it is. Thank you. So what happens when you don't use your notes? Okay. Jesus said the pure in heart will see God in Matthew. Okay? True. Now, what did Jesus establish for us? Did he establish purity for us before God so that we could see him? Yes. So true at a spiritual level. What about daily life level? What I've experienced is I see the Lord the more I walk in holiness outwardly in my life, my thought life, my actions, the more I'm submitted to the Spirit in that, I see the Lord working all around me. And the farther I stray from that, the more I start to question, is there a God? Is he real? Where is he? I don't see him. And the author here is calling people up. Pursue peace. We're going to go into that at the end, kind of end with that part, end with the beginning. But holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. He's calling these believers, come on, pursue holiness. You're going to see God all over the place. Let the Holy Spirit continue to purify your heart so that you can see God, like Jesus said. Okay, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. Uh-oh. What does that mean? Lest any root of bitterness spring up, cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Okay, so let's look at the first part of that. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. What does that mean? Any ideas in here? What does it mean to fall short of the grace of God? Our more pointed question, in Galatians, hint, Paul talks about something you can do that causes you to fall away from grace, fall short of God's grace. What were the people doing there that caused them to fall short of grace? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Yes, but now Paul is talking to believers. Okay? That's good, because that was our status. Before we were saying, what's that? Deny Christ. Okay, so there's definitely an understanding here that you could fall short of the grace of God by denying Christ and denying what he's done for us on the cross. Look at not living for his purposes. Right? Just being a package sitting there. And so he's saved you. He's put all these awesome things in you, and you could just sit in the warehouse. Look at Galatians, the verse I'm talking about. Paul says, you who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. Well, absolutely, you've fallen away from grace if you're trying to be justified by law. There were, that had to do with circumcision, and there were believers who were saying, well, yeah, we need to obey the old law as well as the new with Jesus. And Paul just came in and said, no, this isn't going to work. You're going to fall out of the grace of God because you're taking it into your own hands. No, I'm there. Yes, Jesus accomplished a lot, but not quite enough, and I've got to do some things to make it happen. So mixing law and grace, you can miss the grace of God. Is that a question of salvation? I don't think so. I don't think that our salvation is teetering on that. But can you, in this life, as you walk with God, miss all the goodness of his grace?
Oh, absolutely.
because you're living in the law and trying to work it out? I think you can. I think that's a warning here. Remember, this is a pep talk to these believers who are run down. Okay? Lest any root of bitterness spring up, cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Okay? We know how roots of bitterness can cause a lot of trouble in a community, in our family, in our own hearts. Poison. Okay? A root of bitterness, if a plant has a bitter root, that's going to get up into the fruit or the vegetable or whatever's growing on that root and ruin it. That's going to be a poison, a bitterness. Some people think that this reference here that the author uses traces back to Deuteronomy, where it does refer to a root of bitterness, a bitter root. Let's look at that. Make sure there is no man. This is context. This is God giving the covenant to Moses to the people, for Moses to deliver to the people. And part of that covenant was kind of beware of this. Make sure there is no man or woman, clan or tribe among you today whose heart turns away from the Lord, our God, to go and worship the gods of those nations. Make sure there is no root among you that produces such bitter poison. And then he goes on to talk about, in that context, the whole land. If there was somebody in the camp that turned to the false gods, that land would be desolate. Nothing would grow there. It would be barren land. And I think that's definitely the effect of bitterness now. At that level, too, turning from God to false gods. Have you experienced that in your life? Maybe what's been the impact of that if you've known somebody who's walked with the Lord and then turned from that? It's really hard, and it affects a lot of people, family, friends, everybody connected with that person.
Define false God.
Mm-hmm. Define false God. So somebody, in this case, it was turning to Baal worship or whatever it was that was, the surrounding nations were worshiping. So in ourselves, if you're a Christian and you just deny Christ, you say, you know what, I walked with Christ, I thought, but I don't think he's real. And so I'm turning from him, and you never come back to the Lord. You just, nope, I deny Christ now. Well, do you believe in God? No. Okay. Or, no, I believe in, this other religion now. Okay? There's lots of other options that you can go to.
Can character weaknesses
be false God? Yes, but I don't think to the extent that I'm talking about. I'm talking about literally, okay? Like idol worship, things like that. Because I think you can go really deep into that, but I'm not necessarily going that deep with this picture. But that, if my point is, that affects others. Basically, your choice of how you walk with God or don't is going to affect many. And so he's talking to a group of people. This author's picture a group of believers like this, saying, all of you, watch out for each other. Because the signs of somebody turning from their faith, signs of somebody having a bitterness even, literally, just a bitterness because there's been a conflict, they come up slowly. And if we're all watching not to point fingers, but to help restore each other so that there isn't a bitter root growing underneath these chairs here, okay? Spreading poison amongst our community. That's what he's warning these people about. So verse 16. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, also translated here godless. Fornicator, also translated immoral. Prostitute, person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. So let's look at the selling his birthright for a morsel of food. Last week, Randy talked about our sonship. Remember, that's just a few verses before this. Got to remember the context. The author's highlighting our sonship, and discipline comes in because the Lord loves us. And then he points out this specific story. I mean, why would he choose this story? Here's a son with an inheritance, and he despises his inheritance, basically. He says, it's not quite worth quite as much as a meal to me, as one meal, at least in the moment, the rash decision that he made in the moment. Now, it does show that though he sought, after I think he realized the rash decision he made, he went back to his father begging, even to the point of tears, and there was no reversal. So what does that mean? So it's really serious, obviously, to despise your inheritance. And I think we can do that at a level. And I think the author's warning here, you know, as a son or daughter, are you embracing, are you valuing your inheritance? Or are you selling it for a morsel? What's your morsel that you're willing to sell your inheritance for? But what does it mean here by he was rejected for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears? What do you think that means? What do you think the author is trying to tell us there? Any ideas? What's that?
Seller's remorse.
That's a good way of putting it. So, he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. Yeah, this is where it comes up to the question of what, and in the context of that, sanctified and being sanctified, how does sin interact with our lives? What kind of effect does sin have on us? We're sanctified. We're holy. We're set apart for God. We're restored in relationship with Him, so we're kind of invincible from the effects of sin, right? If a Christian, sanctified, holy, got drunk and drove down the freeway, they could kill somebody, including themselves. But what I'm saying is a believer who totally believes in sanctification. Okay, I'm holy, I'm sanctified. But in this decision on this evening, I'm going to get drunk and I'm going to drive home.
Rules don't apply.
Rules don't apply. So they're just in a bubble.
Get away with it.
I think they can kill somebody and they can be killed. What do you guys think? Think about it. Does sin affect our lives as believers? Or do we get a free pass? Okay? What does it mean about their inheritance? I mean, do they lose their salvation if they kill somebody? Not according to positional sanctification. Is there going to be a devastation to that, the kingdom of God that he's establishing through that person? There's going to be some destruction that's going to need rebuilding. So what this passage is saying is you can make a rash decision in a moment. Full on, believer, sanctified, holy. And there's consequences can come from that sin. You can't squeeze around that as much as we want to, because it gives us a lot of justification for our choices. Now, I've seen in this context, I've seen God redeem amazingly sin and the consequences of sin, and come in and speak and bring restoration and rebuild. Absolutely. So do I take a sledgehammer and just start destroying everything because he's going to restore it? That's not what we're called to. That's kind of the point that we're getting at here in Hebrews, is look at this glorious inheritance we have, this salvation, this restoration to God. Don't take a sledgehammer and start destroying it. You know, not just, you know, just destroying everything in your path and leaving this wake of destruction. No, live in holiness and build the kingdom of God. That's what we're being called up to. If a man turns to porn, if he turns to porn for escape, it's going to have an effect on his relationships. It's going to hit. There will be an effect to that. You can't get around that. Okay, that's the warning here, is these things are serious. Throw off everything that hinders. It will hinder you to step into those things. Let the Holy Spirit come in, do that discipline that he wants to do, that Randy walked us through last week. Because you're not just going to say, okay, I'm just going to start being holy, but the work of the Holy Spirit is that sanctification as you walk with him. So, point taken here, repentance is also translated. I looked through so many translations of this, and after looking at all of them, I think this and a couple other translations get it pretty close. But repentance here can be translated change of mind. So he found no place for repentance is a little confusing, but if you think of it as he found no change of mind, he couldn't change his dad's mind. The birthright was given, and he wasn't, and his dad was going to honor that decision. He wasn't going to pull it back and say, okay, I changed my mind. So he found no, that's the consequences of our rash decisions to step into sin, even as sons and daughters of God. You put your hand on the stove and you're going to get burned. Okay, pursue peace with all people. So wrapping up here, super important theme in Scripture, Romans 12 talks about, as much as it depends on you, pursue peace with all men. And then here it says, pursue peace with all people. Are you going to find peace with all people? Is it always possible to accomplish peace with all men? No. But as we love one another, peace is going to be involved in that. So, for example, you may know a brother or sister who has decided to go down a road of sin in an area of their life. And it's, they're, you know if you confront them on it, it's pretty black and white, it's clear. You know if you confront them on it, it's going to cause some waves. It's going to disturb peace in your relationship with them and maybe other relationships that are related. According to this verse, what's the right thing to do? Should you bring it up? Should you stir up the waters? Or should you let it go? You guys are really quiet.
If they're a Christian, you don't let it go.
If they're a Christian, right? Right, yeah, you're not the filter for the world of everything that they need to stop doing. But as a brother, in this illustration, it's a brother, sister in Christ. Confront them. Because I think to obtain peace, when you know that somebody's walking into that path we just talked about, that does lead to destruction and devastation in their life and in those around them, achieving peace is to gently come beside them and help restore them to a place of walking with God again. That's going to be the true peace. You're selling out for a lesser false peace if you keep quiet about it. That's what we're called to do as this family. It doesn't mean we go around looking for, people to point things out to, but it means, am I at peace with my brothers and sisters? And am I willing to let somebody approach me? Or am I going to stray from this command, pursue peace with all people, if somebody brings something up in my life? Or am I going to go, okay, yeah, that's right. That's what the Holy Spirit's doing in me. He's drawing me closer and closer to peace. I think that one of the things that produces peace in our lives, like I said, it's not going to be walking out of here and just saying, I'm going to live at peace with all men now. But no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful later on. However, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. So what we talked about last week, the discipline of the Lord in the trials of our life, in the areas of our life that the Lord wants to free us from the weight of sin that we may still be living in or choosing, it produces righteousness and peace. The first, okay, peace and holiness. So really what it is it's walking with God in his discipline to produce that. Why is it so important in a church body? Look at this picture here. I don't know a lot about crew, but I saw this picture of, I think if we're in a race, and in the context of a church body, I think it's more like this. Okay, we're all rowing together. And when I looked up the pictures, I saw that some of them had the guys with two oars each, which I kind of thought was just the way it was. But then I came across these pictures, those of you who know more about the sport, where they've got one oar on one side, and then the other guy's got, and it's all evened out. Because I was thinking, you know, if some of us stop rowing and we all have two oars, it's going to get harder and we're going to go slower, but we're still moving forward. I think this is more accurate. Yeah, what's going to happen if three guys on this one side stop rowing? And everyone else is still, you know? Yeah, we're going to turn around. We're not going to get to the prize. We're not going to run the race. So that's why we're called to live in peace with one another. This is our family rule. Just to wrap up here, the Hansen family rule, okay? Let's read it together. In this family, we love each other with our actions and our words. Okay? That's our family rule. Star came up with that, and it's awesome. And sometimes when she's with the kids during, you know, school or whatever, there comes a point where we need to stop, like kind of like the Pledge of Allegiance, and say it out loud. And sometimes it's said together with first saying, in this family, we do not hurt each other with our actions and our words, but in this family, and then we say the... So I thought, wouldn't it be cool if we kind of made this our church family rule? Because I think if you obeyed that, we'd accomplish peace. So what I did was I printed out some of these, and there's still a stack of them there and a stack back on the table there. So if you want to grab one on the way out, you can. They're on a card. Stick it on your fridge for a while until you don't feel like loving with your actions and words, and then you can take it off. But we'll see how long you leave it on there. But just as a reminder, because like I said, you really don't, please don't go out of here and just say, I got this. I'm going to just start obeying these commands, because it's all about relationship. When I prayed this morning and asked God, you know, here's my notes, God, what do you want to say? And he brought me back to the progressive sanctification. And he said, Jeff, simply put, progressive sanctification is relationship with me here and now in this life. Because if you walk in relationship with God, it just happens. If you're honest with God, if you're open with him in the parts of your life, if your day is laid out before him, it just happens. It's not a striving. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. And the peace starts to come out. You just ask the question, God, you know, and this, so I printed this out just as a reminder to go to God and say, Lord, you know, you see that on your fridge in the morning. Lord, would you speak to me about this and maybe how I can do that today? And maybe how I didn't do it yesterday, but how you want to call me up to something more today. So that's just an offer to you. As I close in prayer, I want to say that my prayers have been turning more and more to really seeking God for awakening and awareness to this race that I'm in. Every time I go to a memorial service, it's real. It's full color. This life in the flesh, it doesn't last forever. I think we all, in the back of our minds, kind of don't think about it. But think about how many generations have gone before us, and they were just like us. They didn't think about it. It's just another day. Don't know how many more I have, but it's a lot, I'm sure. Every time I go to a memorial service, it's a reminder to me. And so my prayer has been, when I go into a day, or, you know, I went hunting here a couple of weeks ago, and I was really excited because it was more like a family reunion. There was a couple of our family members from out of town, out of country, who are back in town. I've got a couple of my boys going with me. I didn't want to miss what God wanted to do in that community. And so my prayer going out there was, God, open my eyes to the significance of this window of time that I have with these people. And it was an incredible trip. So I want to pray that over you guys. And then Randy's going to come with some announcements. So Lord, I do just pray that. I pray that for every person in this room. Somebody's sitting in here feeling like they're the one exempt from a significant life. Yeah, the significant life thing just isn't true for me. So I just want to say to you, that is not true. The Spirit wants to speak something different to you. He wants to speak truth and say, you are here in 2014 for a reason. On this day. This stay on earth that you have is to bring something of significance to the world around you. So Lord, open our eyes to that. God, help us stay aware of that. Maybe just this message on the fridge be another reminder of that, but put other ones in our lives. As we're in your word, may it come alive to us. All this coaching and calling up in your word to run the race. Thank you that you give us everything we need to run that race by your Holy Spirit. And we just embrace everything that you have for us in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good? Very good. Thank you, Jeff. As a elder board, we try to spend some time regularly listening to the Lord and just asking, you know, Lord, how's Adventure doing? You know, and just kind of listen. We'll have our journals out and we'll ask him. And recently we asked him, you know, is there anything right now as a body that's keeping us from rowing both sides of that thing? Or are we going in circles in any way? We just listened on that, and really felt like he responded. And he said, yeah, there's some things that are causing you to row in some circles. We're not ready for that opening clip, you know, that Jeff started with, that run, that kind of attitude. I'm like, Lord, what is it? What is it? And he said the word bitterness. There's some bitterness that's been allowed to root in people's hearts. And so I don't know who that is, but just want to encourage you sort of on the heels of this message to just even ask the Lord in your own journey. Lord, is there any bitterness that I've allowed? Something been done to me that I haven't dealt with, or I've just allowed that root of bitterness? Because it is a place where Satan loves to make a playground. And when you're there, when that's in your heart, we're not running. As a body, we're crippled. You know what I mean? And so I just want to encourage you to look at that in your own heart and ask, Lord, is there a place that I've allowed bitterness to root? Could I have the ushers come forward for our time of offering? In a few minutes, we're going to take the offering. But before they do that, I want to go over a few announcements with you. One is the connection cards. In your bulletin and at your chairs, actually, are these connection cards. This is our lifeline to you. So it's our way to know what to pray for, to connect with you. If you need anything, you need to meet with somebody, please fill one of those out. And also just letting us know you're here, that would be great. Also, Camp Cory Fall Festival. This is out kind of toward Carnation on October 19th, it's between 1 and 4. It's sort of open 1 to 4 that we've booked it. And it's just a place to go get hot cocoa, hang out. There's kind of different kind of games and things to do. It's a great place to bring your kids. And the way we're going to do this as a family is we're going to go to this for about an hour right after church and then go home and take our nap, because that night is our 10th anniversary party. Okay? And it's down at the box. Okay, do you know what I mean when I say the box? The Riverview School District Administrative Building and Gym. We're just going to call it the box. Is our new home next year, but on Sunday mornings. But we're going to have a huge party there for our 10th anniversary and just celebrate what God has done. And so this is on the same day, so it's a great thing. Go get s'mores somewhere in that timeline, then go home, take your nap so you're ready to rock, okay? The other thing is, if you have kids elementary age, we're going to have a big Christmas play with the kids up on stage in December. And so you're going to want to have your kids involved in that. I'm working on my daughter, okay, to do this. She's like, I don't act, Dad. But wouldn't it be a hoot to have your son or daughter up here? And so for that play, last time we did it, they were the stars, okay? Everybody was like, can I have your autograph afterwards? And it was a wonderful time. So want to encourage you. Last week they started rehearsals. Make sure you, if you have a son or daughter, it's going to be important that, you want involved. Make sure you talk to Sarah Farrington or Robin Carlson about how to get signed up for that. Okay? Also, Adventure University. Okay, we posted our first online Adventure University class, which is how to do a neighborhood Bible study. Okay, how to do an outreach Bible study in your neighborhood. It's called Adventure 105, and it's 4 10-minute videos, and it's on our website. You can access it through the Adventure University link. And so this last week, we did our neighborhood block party. Anybody else do theirs this weekend, or last weekend? Look at those hands. Way to go, you guys. We had 12 people show up. It was awesome. Like, we had one family that we knew. And everybody else was new, and we had this older couple show up at the beginning, like most of, because the game went long, remember, in overtime. Almost nobody showed up at 5, which was a dumb time to put it, following a game. But we did a harvest kind of corn on the cob feed, bring a pie harvest party. And so we had all these pies on this table and red checkered thing. And this older couple came, and we sat down and talked with them. Nobody was coming except them, we thought, for like an hour, right? And so we were talking with them, and they were high school sweethearts and got married, and 48 years now we're married. And so we were celebrating with them, talking about them. Well, then couple after couple started coming, families started coming, and then by about 7, we had about 12 come, and it was full swing, you know, pie, everything else. And then this couple, the older couple, stayed like till almost the end, almost the latest. There was one other family that stayed later, and they stayed forever. Like, we were out till 10. We had built a campfire, and we were talking. And we brought up to him, hey, would you guys, you know, the Schuberts are moving to be neighbors. And so I was able to say to them, hey, the Schuberts and us are talking about doing a neighborhood Bible study. And the Grants, because we have Kirsten and Dan live in our neighborhood too. And we're thinking about doing a neighborhood Bible study. Would you guys be interested? And they were like, sign us up. So, and I didn't plan to even bring it up. I just kind of jumped out there with it. But so we are going to reach our community if we step out and do these dangerous things. And so we're looking forward to hearing more stories about that. But now, how do I do this outreach Bible study? All you need to know, there's 4 10-minute videos on our website in that course. Now, the other courses are launching this Thursday. So you need to make sure you sign up today or in the next couple of days, because we need to know what classes you're going to attend so we know how to do the child care prep. There's full child care available. It's Thursday nights down at Hillside Academy. That is not right down this hill. They've moved. If you go down to First Street, which is a couple blocks down, and take a right, and you go pretty much to the end, you'll see a bus, and there it is. Okay? So we're almost at Cherry Valley Elementary. So the three courses, huh? Oh, is it free childcare? It is free childcare. Free childcare. Okay. We did start one early class last week because Truth Project is one of the courses. It takes an extra long time. 18 people showed up. So they're going to get a bigger classroom this week. But the other three classes that are happening are incredible. One is Jeff Price, his passion is sharing his faith. And he's offering a class, How to Share Your Faith Without Losing Your Friends. Do you know how to share Christ with somebody in a way that you're really ready to do it at any time, but do it in a way that it's not going to cause a big rift? Do you know how to do that? If not, or if you'd like to bone up on how to do that, this is the class for you. The other class is Know What You Believe. Okay, so there's three teachers of that. That's Jonathan Kobayashi, Ephraim Deldegan, and Lawrence Dahl. And those guys have been shooting me their outlines. And it was supposed to be like the basics of Christianity, what we really believe. It's turned into quite a higher level theology course. Okay, but it's going to be great. It's going to cover both. It's going to be perfect for if you're new, and it's going to be great if you want to think deeper. But they're going to go, they've got material about where did the errors come in and heresies come in that have now led to the cults we see today. So there's some really, I mean, I'm very impressed with what I'm seeing go through. They're going to be talking about age of the earth. Is it old or is it young? Okay? Anybody want to enter that debate? Okay? So there's going to be awesome stuff as they go through doctrine and what Christianity believes. That's one to sign up for. And the third one is Jeff and Star are going to be teaching, and it's how to make disciples. What did Jesus tell us to do? What's the one thing, right, he told us to do? Go make Christians, right? Go make churchgoers. It's go make disciples of all nations. And Jeff, do you feel like you're equipped for that? Do you feel like you're ready to do that and bring that? If you would like more equipping on that, Jeff and Star are going to have that course. Now you're thinking, I want to go to all three, and they're all simultaneously offered. Well, all of them are going to be videotaped and then offered as online courses next semester. Okay, so you don't have to feel too freaked out about not being able to attend all three. Okay, so what are you going to do today when you get home? Register so we can know how many, tell us how many children, okay? You just go online, go on our website. Yeah. Childcare is there, childcare is on site. Okay? Okay, also, because we want everybody to step out and offer these neighborhood Bible studies and just take the risk to invite people, we're moving junior high to Thursday night. So junior high, high school, and all adult classes are going to be Thursday night, so you have the rest of the week more free, right, to invite your neighbors to a study at your home. All right. Also, Meals Ministry is ready for help and to help. So if you have a family illness and you need help, you have a new baby on the way, we want to provide you meals. But you may say, you know, I'd love to provide some meals. That ministry would love to have your help. And so you can fill out a card and say, sign me up. You can call me to prepare some meals, okay? They freeze them. It saved our family this year, the meals ministry. And so it's a wonderful way to be the hands of Jesus in somebody's life. And then also, guys, men's retreat, okay? This is the journey of identity, men. This is find your true identity, your calling, your mission. This is going to be a critical time. Save this date. You're going to hear more and more. There's going to be promotional videos and things like that coming, but just make sure November 21st to the 23rd, you're ready for that. And then, as I said, the 19th, Sunday night, the 19th of October, 6 p.m., Riverview School District building. If you are into decorating and you would dig, like, I want to dream up things and help put things together, this would be a great place for you to step in as well. Just fill out a card and say, I'd like to help with that anniversary party. I really enjoy that kind of thing. Okay, lastly, kind of an announcement about our elder board. Back in May, in fact, if there are any elders here, I know I had a couple guys had to punch out. If you could come on up, if you're one of the elder board. Oh, before we do that, while you're coming up, come on up. I'm going to pray for our offering. Here, I forgot the offering. All right. So let's pray for this. Lord, you have called us to be your disciples, your followers, and Lord, you have imparted to us holiness. And at the same time, Lord, we're being made holy. And Lord, I know that part of holiness is being like you, being a giver. You are the most generous giver in the universe. Lord, you just give and give and give to us. You gave your life, and then you still take care of us. And if that weren't enough, Lord, you've chosen to heal us of our wounds and impart to us new identity and our true identity, all these things, Lord. And we want to be like you. We want to be holy, and so we want to give back to you. We want to love you through our giving. And so, Lord, would you take these gifts? Lord, would you use them to further your kingdom? Thank you for all the things you're doing. And Lord, we pray that as we move forward with this vision and do the really challenging thing and step out into our communities, Lord, that you would bring blessing and courage for us to do those things. And then, Lord, would you use these gifts to further that? In Jesus' name, amen. So these guys are just going to drop those off at the front of the sections, and would you please make sure they get back? While that's happening, we're missing a few guys. One, let me give you the story real quick. Back in May, we realized that being an elder at Adventure Church is hard. It's a lot of work. Like, we meet weekly. We do retreats. These guys are responsible to oversee different ministries, rescue ministries that are struggling, pray over sick people, and realize that it's a pretty difficult task that we're asking of these men. And so we sort of did this job description that outlined all that and the responsibilities of it. And we decided we're going to go to a 1-year commitment instead of sort of a lifelong commitment. Okay, so you guys, you can get a break, okay? And so we said to the existing elder board, okay, everybody gets a chance to have a break or re-up. Two guys, I did mandatory 3-month sabbatical, okay? Just because they'd been on so long and had been working so hard. And so, and they're back now. So a few guys said, you know what, this is my time. I'm going to take a break. I'm going to take that year off and then see what God says for the next year. And so we've added a few guys. And with this new job description and with the break. And so Jonathan and Jerry and Jeff have been on the team, but Jeff and Jonathan took a sabbatical. Stanley's a new ad, so we've asked him to pray, and Lord, would you have me do this? And God's called him to it. Okay, awesome. The other guys that are new, Steve Carrier was here at first hour, but it's his 70th birthday today, and he asked if he could have second service off to go party. And so Steve Carrier is a new elder at Adventure. Also, Seth Clemens is a new elder at Adventure, part of the elder board, and then BJ has been added as well for this year. And so those guys form the new elder board, largest board we've ever had of 8. But I want to just ask if you would join me in a prayer of commission for these guys for the year, okay? So let's pray for them. Jesus, we love you. Thank you for these men. Thank you for their willingness to step up and really do the hard things. Hold the line when it comes to your word. Make tough decisions as a team. Lord, thank you that they're willing to step in and get involved and pray over the sick. And they're willing to teach and preach and discern your word and your future direction for this body. Lord, thank you that these men are all godly men who follow you. And Lord, we thank you for the quality with which you have given us elders at this church. And Lord, we pray right now for your commissioning, your covering, your blessing over them, Lord. Cause them to have wisdom and be filled with your spirit for this year as we commission them now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you so much for coming today. Have a great rest of your Sunday.